Siddhartha Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Sri Vidyatamaya Srila Sri 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 Pad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premsakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudi Govardhana Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakundara Radhakundara Ki Govardhana Ki Sri Vrajabhumi Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Navadvipa Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Jamuna Mayi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Iskar Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Thai Go Premana Ki All glory to the assembled devotees. All glory to the assembled devotees. All the glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the Guru and the Nanda.
Effective instrument
nice spiritual master, but great big desires. Just like one of our charters, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said he would not be satisfied, he would not rest, he would not be still until what? All the 14 worlds were chanting Hare Krishna. So these are the dreams of the charters and their servants. So to accomplish that, we have to be effective instruments in the hands of our spiritual teachers to fulfill their desires. Actually, as disciples of our gurus, we only consider ourselves instruments to fulfill their goodwill. Because they only desire goodwill for the people of this world. It's our good fortune if we can assist them in any way. Krishna says to Arjuna, Nimitta matram bhava sabhya sachin. My dear sabhya sachi, be but an instrument to the fight. So we want to be sharp instruments in the hands of Guru and Krishna, not dull. We want to be dull-headed disciples. Anyone who works in the kitchen, they know the frustration of having to cut the subject with a dull knife. So I always look forward to this. I look forward to this. Not because I get to sit in a big seat. Before I came in, Chaitanya warned me. He said, it looks like King Arthur's seat. I don't want to sit here. I'm going to sit here with all of you. And all the praise and glorifications and the gifts. And that's not really what I relish about this day. Relish this day because I get to hear from my disciples, and by hearing I can understand what progress is making in consciousness. And I consider that as my most important service to Srila Prabhupada, is my helping my disciples in the path back home and back to Godhead. I mean, many devotees who say things like, I'm a very active preacher, and I go all over the world, and there's big programs, but what are the programs for? The programs are to touch the hearts of the conditioned souls and begin them on the path of Krishna consciousness. So the real work is actually when people come into the fold and we help inspire them and train them and encourage them. People do that. Jideva Supoya Krishnara Nityadas. Who are we? Really, you go through all the layers. American, black, white, yellow, boy, girl, businessman, college. It's like going through the onion. The onion has so many layers. Take this layer off, that layer off. You know, when you get to the essence of who we really are, who are we? We're not these bodies. We have no designations that go along with these bodies. We're just the eternal servants of Krishna. So to help someone come to that realization, Savaipum Shampara Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radoksati Ahituki Yata Yayamakshuti. Clearly, the supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which one can attain to the loving devotional service of the Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy itself. I've said it many times, and well, I've said it many times, my favorite activity in Krishna consciousness is after all the work's done, setting up the big festivals, advertising them, you know, all the work we go through to sit at the entrance to our festival and watch people walk in. For me, it's just so, just look at their faces and come in. They come into this Vaikuntha bubble and they're just, their whole demeanor, their whole nature just lights up and changes. This is the day that Vyaspuja that I can see that progress in my disciples. Prabhupada says you can understand someone's advancement when they speak. One doesn't have to be a good speaker, quote unquote, doesn't be trained in public speaking. Devotees speak from the heart, the natural poets, and they speak with love, and it's so enlivening to hear your offerings. So inspiring. How do we know a disciple is making progress? when we see that they're enthusiastic and in loving relationships with others, when we see how eager they are for kirtan, and when they speak their realizations, so inspiring. It's like our little Omika. She's not so little anymore. I used to call her my littlest disciple. Now she's a big girl. She's a young lady. She's a young woman. But I haven't seen her in maybe 1 or 2 years. I don't know. And I worry about her. As spiritual masters, we worry about our disciples because we know the potency of this material world. She lives in the Big Apple, Sin City, and she's, you know, a young, beautiful girl. She goes to public school. Of course, I trust her. She's a devotee. But then when she comes, and yesterday I was, Badahari Prabhu was leading the most heavenly kirtan, and I was looking around the room, and there was Omika with her eyes closed, her head swaying back and forth, her arms raised to heaven, chanting like I'd like to chant. She'd just given herself 100% to the chanting, and I was thinking, that girl's okay. Or, and when I said to little Ayush yesterday, he was a kid. He's still a kid. In between a teenager and a kid. They're called tweenies or something. I don't know. He's a kid. So I said, Ayush, we spent some time together, you know, you remember, in India? And I'd like you to speak to Mahaprabhu at the Vyasa Puja. You speak some words of glorification to your spiritual master in front of 300 people. Can you do that? Now you ask any kid if they can go in front of 500 people and speak. They get stage fright, they go white. But his eyes lit up, and a smile came across his face, and he gave me a hug. Because he's a twinie, you can do it when you're a little disciple that age. He hugged me and he said, of course, Guru Maharaj. And I was thinking about these things he's making spiritual advances. Or a little shy Radhika, David Ashram's daughter. We were in the car, she was talking. She's doing so well at school, and she chants, and she has deities. And I said, Radhika, how old are you? She said, 10. I said, I want you to speak at the Vyasa Puja tomorrow. She said, oh yes. And you heard what a wonderful offering like this. This natural stage fright of a 10-year-old kid speaking was vanished by the willingness to please the spiritual master. So like this, Vyasa Puja is an opportunity for me to check the progress of my spiritual children. A father naturally likes to see his children grow. When I was a boy, my sister's here, Annie, and my brother, Vash Kumar, we used to go to our grandparents every summer, Christine and John Wiggins. And our grandfather, he had this thing that every time we'd come, we'd have to stand up against the wall, and he would mark how much we'd grown. And my grandmother would come in. It was a big thing for them. I said, come on, I'm wasting my time. I want to swim in. I want to play horseback. I'll stand here. And if I could stretch up, you know, high enough to look like I'd grown, they'd let me go. They were so proud of the fact. I couldn't figure it out. Of course, that's a mundane concept, the body, but still it was some loving thing there. So we also, as spiritual fathers, we like to see our children grow in Krishna consciousness. Just like Prabhupada, there's a famous picture of Prabhupada at Sally Agarwal's house. 1965, I think it was. And she had her son, Bridge, who was in front of Prabhupada. He was on the carpet, took his first step. And there's a picture of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's smiling. He's like, whoa, Bridge, good boy! And it's natural. Prabhupada was the perfect guest. And he appreciated that first step. So, as spiritual fathers, the order of our spiritual father. So nice to see you making progress, dancing so enthusiastically, speaking so nicely. Because it's no small thing to make progress in Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't take it for granted. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Daiva Yesha Gunamaye It's his warning to all aspiring transcendentalists. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. Why is it difficult to overcome the material nature and go back to the spiritual world? Because the material nature personified, Chitu has the thankless task of keeping us in this world until we show our real heart's desire to go back to the spiritual world. Personified, she's Maya Devi. And she's very powerful. Why is she so powerful? She's actually an expansion of Yogamaya. In the Navadvipa Mahatmya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's described that one day Maya Devi, personified, approached Lord Chaitanya. This is when he was on the planet. And she said, "Lord, I have a problem. I have a complaint. You're Patit Pavana." My godbrother who wrote that nice offering. He's Patit Pavana Das. Who's really Patit Pavana? Who's merciful to the most fallen? Lord Chaitanya. He's even more merciful than Krishna. Because Krishna makes some conditions. First you have to surrender. Sarvadhanam Padichaja, Monikam Saranam Paja. Just surrender unto me, I will keep you protected. Lord Chaitanya doesn't even ask. He just goes out and gives the holy name, chanting and dancing, and people become purified. So he's Patit Pavana, the liver of the most fallen. So Maya Devi said, "Lord, you are delivering everyone, not only on this planet, but in this universe." Kaviraj Goswami mentions that when Lord Chaitanya was here, due to his presence, the whole world went back to God. And then it filled up again, naturally, with conditioned souls. She said, "But I have to stick around. What's going on? Everyone's going back in the spiritual world, but I have to stay here." So Mahaprabhu replied, "No, you're also there. You are Yogamaya. You're Yogamaya in the spiritual world, and here you're the expansion. As you are powerful there, you are powerful here. So what are we up against? What is it for her who causes liberated souls in the spiritual world to forget that Krishna is God so that they can enjoy an intimate loving relationship with him? He's just their friend and their lover, their child. He's God, but the Yogamaya potency causes people to forget he's God, so therefore they can come close and enjoy a more familiar relationship with him. What is it for her if she can, quote unquote, bewilder the essence of the spiritual world? To bewilder little people like us in this material is nothing. So if you can overcome her influence, that should be noted. Somebody should be noting it. If you make progress in school, somebody has to mark it down. Who notes it? Your teacher. And you feel so good when she notices, right? You pass that examination perfectly. And she says you get A+, 5 stars. Thank you, teacher. Somebody has to note. So who is supposed to note, to take notice of the advancement of the disciple? It's the spiritual master. That's his responsibility. That's his duty. We need that encouragement. Just like our Srila Prabhupada. When it came time, when he was recommended for initiation by the local temple, it went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they said, "Guru Maharaj, will you initiate Abhai?" And he said, "Yes, I've marked him. I've noted him. He hears nicely." Apparently, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was speaking, our Srila Prabhupada listened very attentively. In fact, Prabhupada mentions how there was a lecture to be given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and the person who was making the announcement said there will also be a pilgrimage to the temple that day. And our Prabhupada chose to stay back for the lecture. He wanted to hear from his spiritual master. One time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "If you want to see Krishna, you hear from me." Sadhu, he sees by his So he marked him, yes. So I have marked that boy. I will grant him my mercy and my blessings. And conversely, the duty of the spiritual master is also to chastise the disciple, either personally or in general lectures, which are actually meant for each and every disciple. Sometimes I'll lecture at a particular point, not thinking of any particular disciple, but after the lecture, somebody comes up and says, "How did you know I was having that problem? Were you speaking to me?" No, these are all general problems we have in trying to get out of this material world with us. Anger, greed, we're just addressing the general issues and the process of how to advance. The spiritual master has to push us a little because sometimes we don't make enough effort. We are guilty of complacency. Complacency means to put off for tomorrow what can be done today. We've heard you can go on chanting Hare Krishna for thousands of lifetimes to make a little progress, but if you chant the holy name pure just one time, Hare Krishna, purely, back home, back to God. So we've been chanting many days, many weeks, many months, many years, and we're still stuck in Dallas. Why? Some little complacency there. Not making enough effort. Why would one not make enough, put enough energy into the practice of Krishna consciousness? Because that's actually why we join this holy and slowly to go back to Godhead. So how it's ironic that we join but we may not give our full energy. Like, wait a minute. How is it that one might not give his full energy to the process? We touched on that last night, that most of us are very busy with the affairs of this world. We have to work, we have to play, even play. It takes time, energy, and money. We have bills, we have emails. And often the pressure and lack of time means something has to go. And more often than not, for a neophyte devotee, what he compromises on is his sadhana and not his state. This is the natural tendency of the neophyte devotee. So spiritual master has to remind you, take your medicine. And Prabhupada instructed our GBC life. GBCs, they have a very weighty responsibility to manage the affairs of this movement. They have to have a vision for the future. They have to keep the tradition of the past, they have to maintain status quo, and they have to seek the future. It's a very heavy responsibility. Prabhupada entrusted the movement into the hands of the GBC. So many, they meet for I don't know how many days, hours and hours and hours. The one time Prabhupada said, what is the GBC man's most important duty? To travel around his temples and ask the devotees, are you chanting the house? Are you following the principles? Are you reading the books? Because if we stop taking the medicine, the blood pressure goes up again. Recently, I started taking some medicine for my blood pressure. And I said, after a while, now I'm not going to do that. Nah, I never had to do that before. I was fit as a fiddle. This is some misreading or something. I stopped taking it, and I could feel, one night I could feel the pressure building up in my head, and I did my blood pressure. I reached into that cabinet, popped the pill. So in the same way, we have the medicine. As Mahaprabhu said, it's about the medicine of the holy name to cure the disease and to cure existence. The job of the spiritual master is to encourage his disciples. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. In order to encourage a disciple to chant, the spiritual master has to lecture endlessly. He's always seeking. It's not a problem. He's a brahmana. As a sutra takes pleasure in building the temple with his hands. As the Vaishya takes pleasure taking the udder of the cow, squeezing the milk out. As a Kshatriya takes pleasure in going to war to protect religious principles, a Brahmin, he just loves to preach about Krishna and everything connected. Not a problem. Spiritual master's main business is speaking, and our main connection with our spiritual master is listening. This is our main connection with our guru. Hearing from him transcendental knowledge, specifically from him. We should hear from all spiritual masters of the Vaishnava tradition and all senior devotees, but there's a special connection between guru and disciple. It's almost as if when you hear your spiritual master say it, you go, ah, now I understand. Now I want to commit myself. In fact, Shastra states that if we hear certain truths from other illustrious souls, it's best that we come back and hear the same knowledge from our spiritual master. It has a special effect on the heart. So what is the spiritual master speaking about? He's always talking about the futility of material existence. He's reminding his disciples about the goal of life, and he's reminding them of the process. Tvaja dujana samsargam, Chanakapanta says. Vajasava samagamam. Kuru punyam ho ratram, shmara nityam anityatam. Chanakapanta is enlightening us. Give up the association of evil persons. Partake of the association of saintly persons. Perform pious duties day and night, and always remember the flickering nature. So therefore we so much need the association of our Diksha Guru and our Shiksha Gurus that are ever well wishers, because they're reminding us of these two things specifically, the futility of mature life and the positive alternative of Krishna consciousness. We have to hear again and again and again and again and again. Master helps us make the necessary adjustments as life goes on, and for that we sometimes require his personal association. Although we see now with my disciples that we don't have so much personal association. I noted that in many offerings that was coming out that, well, we're not traveling this year to all the temples, so we won't have those personal interactions with each other. But that's all right. Prabhupada did say that Vani is more important than Bapu. Vani means the instruction which we can always carry in our heart, and Bapu means the personal association, which may sometimes be there and it may sometimes not be there. Both are important, of course, but really, the Vani, the qualification of the spiritual master instruction, that's the most important. I know I myself received a few personal instructions from Srila Prabhupada, which I hold on to like dear life, and I cherish them. One time Prabhupada wrote me a letter in response to a letter that I wrote him. It was mentioned today in offerings. Part of that letter, Prabhupada said, I have information from the local devotees that you are doing nicely in Krishna consciousness. So my request to you, Prabhupada Brian, is you always follow the four regulative principles, you chant your 16 rounds, and you always follow in the footsteps of advanced devotees. And in due course of time, I will accept you as my duly initiated disciple. So that was an interesting instruction, because when we meet when we come up before our guru for initiation, like tomorrow sometime we're going to take initiation, you're going to promise to chant 16 rounds. You're going to promise to follow the four regulative principles. Those are the vows that you're, according to tradition, you're obliged to make. But I was thought it was interesting, Prabhupada gave me instruction. Always follow in the footsteps of advanced devotees. And that's the reason I requested both Chandragna Prabhu, Giriraj Swami, and Badahari Prabhu specifically to come today. Because I consider them all. keeping myself in their association. I'm following Prabhupada's order, and hopefully there's some progress there. I take the time every year to associate with my godbrothers, and I would like to request my disciples, the same, like father, like son, as Prabhupada instructed me. Specifically, there's a 14th line down in the letter. To always follow the footsteps of advanced devotees, you find some devotees, who advanced devotees, whom you feel comfortable with, you like to hear from, and you associate, which means to serve them. That's why it was so painful to hear Girirai Swami Maharaj speaking so nicely about, because I consider myself his servant, so when the master speaks like that. And our relationships with our God brothers and God sisters are just as important as our relationship with our spiritual master. Just as important as our relationship with Krishna. And how do we know that? Because Narottam Das Thakur tells us, he sings, Hari, Guru, Vaishnava, Bhagavata Gita. Hari God, Guru the spiritual master, Vaishnava, the devotee. And then he says Bhagavata. He means devotee again. And then Gita, it's not Bhagavad Gita, it's Bhagavata. Gita. Bhagavata, advanced devotees, stressing so much. Because just as we understand Krishna by the mercy of our spiritual master, we understand our spiritual master and his desire to have to serve him in association of our God brothers and God sisters and our devotees is equally as important. Equally important. So we've taken that instruction from Srila Prabhupada. 16 rounds, 4 principles, and always following the footsteps of the advanced devotees. And some progress has been there. One disciple said that we're at a disadvantage now. In the old days, they used to live in the ashram with the guru. No. Prabhupada said about his own guru, Mahārāja, this is driven by his divine instructions. And the follower lives with him. So now times are moving on, and I'm only coming to one or two places, and I'm not going to come to the temples. I'm not going to come to the home, and we're not going to have our moments of Harikata, special kirtans, and inquiries, and asking about your lives. That may not be so much present as it was in the past, but that's okay, because the instruction is there. Just like Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada first came to this country, he was alone. And he gave very much personal association to his disciples. In fact, he lived with one boy in an attic for several months until that boy became crazy on drugs. And then Prabhupada met the Matsi boys, Mahabadi and Kirtananda and a few others. And then he lived very intimately with them. And then Ramananda Prabhu came and Gaurav Muni came. And Prabhupada was living with them and just talking about philosophy and Indian history and music. They had time to talk to Prabhupada about all these things connected to Krishna. It was so intimate. And then Prabhupada got invited by Mukunda Goswami to go to San Francisco. And when Prabhupada left New York City, Ramananda said, they were in shock. They said, he said, we never thought Prabhupada would ever leave New York City. We always thought he was just going to be Swamiji, living with us at 26 Second Avenue, you know, giving his talks, and us going out with a big drum and chanting Hare Krishna. That's what they thought. So things moved on. Then, how was Prabhupada associating with them and others? By letters. He was like typing out the letters himself and signing them and sealing them and sending them. And I came into the movement just at that end of that period where you could get a letter from Prabhupada. You get a personal letter from Prabhupada. And then that decreased because of the high volume of so many disciples coming. And then the letters were just going to the senior members of the movement. You know, we were to be satisfied with just seeing Prabhupada once a year, right? But because so many important instructions were given to those particular members of Prabhupada speaking in Mayapur, present, just as Chaitanya Charitamrita class, he's giving specific instructions to Sankirtan devotees on how to spread the word, which is important. So, if we serve in separation the instruction, everything will come. It's a transcendental phenomenon. Tesham satadigam vajatam bhuti purvikam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Krishna says, to those who serve me with love and devotion, I give the understanding by which they come to me. So what does that mean? That means when Krishna sees that his devotee is nicely serving his representative, the spiritual master, Krishna blesses that devotee with the necessary qualifications for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Your guru may be here, he may be there, he may have left this world. But if Krishna sees you're nicely serving your spiritual master, he within the heart, he gives you all intelligence, he makes all arrangements for you to advance. As Maharaj was saying, the relationship transcends even time and space, because we, as Prabhupada said, one day we'll all be together back in the spiritual world. How about this time in the spiritual world? Relationships will. We'll be there. And mysteriously, it appears that even the spiritual master can guide his disciple from beyond this. In the case of Mangal Thakur, who heard from Somagiri, his spiritual master, through the mouth of Chintamani. Listen, Mangal, if you put in the same energy to enjoy my body, if you put the same energy into becoming Krishna conscious, you would be a pure devotee overnight. And immediately the words penetrated all the deep ignorance of Vibhamangal Thakur, who was born in the Saraswati Brahmin family, but by bad association had fallen away, by bad association. But the words of his guru through the mouth of the prostitute caused him on that very moment to turn his back on the true existence and walk the road to Braj to Vrindavan, which he did. And he did do this 600 years in a pure devotee. So the arrangements are made by the Lord, and we maintain that relationship eternally by following the instructions of our spiritual master. Of course, whenever we have the opportunity to have his personal association, whatever inconvenience is involved, whatever hardship, whatever money is necessary to be spent, we should do it. We should go the long distance, the extra mile, to have his association, because I was remembering the other day that for me, perhaps the most inspiring moments in my devotional life, the most precious moments, were those moments I spent with Sri Prabhupada. And when I think deeply of those moments, they carry me through all the different experiences that we have in Krishna consciousness, both the Vani and the Vapu. So while the Vapu is available, we should come long distance. We are spending time in Vrindavan every year, up on the patio of our bhajan kutir, night after night after night, listening to bhajans and the lectures. That's another place where disciples and friends and well-wishers, we can congregate. We have these visits to the various countries, and we have Vrindavan, which is our home. What better place that we can associate? So please take advantage if you can. I do go there every year. I stay in Raj. Tarama Prabhu joins me, and I join Bhakti Vrindavan Maharaj, and I join Swami. We're there for our services to inspire you in devotional service. So please try to come. And, thank you again for coming here, being present at the celebration, so I can check up on your progress. It was hard to hold back my tears, my emotions today. I tried as best I could, because I was just so proud of you, so happy to see you making progress, and to be reminded by your offerings again, through your offerings, of the qualities and the qualifications that I must develop in order to take you to my disciples safely to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.